blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is with a heavy heart that we come to you today with the Hamilton Corner program. Some of you may be aware, some of you may just be learning this now. Husband, father, Christ follower, according to his public witness, a man whom I do not know personally, but I know several people who do know him, who have affirmed that he is in fact, or he was in fact, a godly man, a devout Christian man, founder of Turning Point USA. Charlie Kirk was murdered today in Utah. He was kicking off his, and we'll get into kind of the news of it in a moment, but he was kicking off what he called the American Comeback Tour, his college tours, and I'll explain a little bit more about what he does and what he did at Utah Valley University. According to reports, it is the most populated university in Utah. I didn't know that. I learned that today. But at about 1:20 p.m. Central Time, he was shot in his neck. One shot. And shortly thereafter, it was announced that he succumbed to that wound and has passed away at the young age of 31 years old. He is survived by his wife and his two children. And many around the country are grieving this brother in the faith, It is hard to grasp the kinds of words that could be appropriate, should be appropriate in this time, but I will do my best to do so. To the word of God we go. Romans chapter 12 is where I'm going to go. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. That's right, his two children are two daughters. A wife has been deprived of her husband. Two precious little girls have now been deprived of having their father, who was murdered today. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. This is what the word of God says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor or hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality or endeavoring to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. I'm pointing us to this passage of scripture for one primary reason. The entire epistle of Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, is written to believers. These are instructions that are given to believers. Because Charlie Kirk, by his public witness and by those who know him best, who affirm it is evident that he was a passionate Christ follower, it is appropriate to say that Charlie Kirk's faith has now become sight. Charlie Kirk is more alive than any of us could ever hope to be. Well, not ever hope to be. He's more alive than we can attest to being right now. And Lord willing, we will enjoy a similar living prospectively. Well, at the exact same time, as I mentioned, his wife and those two baby girls, his wife also professes to be a believer. It is appropriate to be reminded that the scriptural admonition to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep, that is a family phenomenon. What am I talking about there? This is something that the scripture bears out. That is what we do within the eternal family of God. It's not to say there shouldn't be an appropriate expression of compassion with those who are unbelievers, but the scripture is replete with expressions that the believer is to do good to everyone, but especially to the household of faith. I'm going to talk about this during the show, but I'm going to ask you to do something, and I am asking this sincerely, that you would pray for the Kirk family and for those two baby girls. It's not two girls? Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. A son and a daughter. I apologize for that. I know why I get that wrong. I'm going to explain this more as we go through the program. We also need to pray for our country. You have a young man who started Turning Point USA in 2012. Who, as I understand it, he was in college, but became exasperated, frustrated, that I'm in school, but we're not learning anything. At a minimum, not learning how to think. Who truly modeled for the country what used to be a value and a virtue that we celebrated in our country, which was and which is civil discourse. Civil discourse. With everyone, especially with those with whom you disagree. Within God's divine providence, Charlie Kirk's profile in the nation increased as we started out as a very small organization and a very small initiative grew over time to where he exhibited outsized influence, most recently demonstrated in his campaigning efforts on behalf of President Trump, who was for the 45th and now 47th president of the United States. And we were always told that the response to poor speech, unreasoned speech, bad ideas, it's not censorship. It is more speech. It is by engaging you expose the flaw in your counterpart's understanding. Yet in the process of doing that very thing, Charlie Kirk was shot and killed today. There are reports indicating that the shot came from some 200 yards away. Obviously, I cannot confirm that at this very moment. That is one of the things that is being reported. Because this is so early in this process, more factual information will be disseminated subsequently. But today is a day where a lot of that is being turned on its head. This is rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. When you have a circumstance like this, and I'm starting here in this way intentionally, a lot of the weeping and the mourning, but not necessarily for Charlie Kirk, because as I said, his faith has become sight. But the weeping and the mourning is appropriate for his family, for his loved ones, his church family. And plainly, for our nation. Though we have been told repeatedly that civil discourse is the way forward, I have on my show here encouraged a reasoning with people who disagree with you. You're also taught that one of the clear evidences of when someone recognizes that they are not faring very well in civil discourse is that they may begin to talk louder. To which I've often said, just because you're loud doesn't make you right. This, what I think can be appropriately described as an assassination, is the violent iteration of shouting louder when you're losing a debate. There were people who may very well have disagreed with Charlie Kirk, did not like what he stood for, did not like what he represented publicly, but instead of stepping to the microphone to express that disagreement, you have a would-be assassin who would rather allow a bullet to do the communicating. This is a sad day, but I want to be clear about it. The sadness is not for Charlie Kirk personally, because the testimony of Scripture is clear. The sadness for those who mourn his passing. And the sadness is for our country. I truly pray that this will turn. You know, we have the account in Scripture where you have Joseph, who has the revelation from God as to what his future will entail. He shares his dreams with his dream with his family. But he has brothers who just would not abide Joseph's dream coming to fruition. So they do what they thought they could do to thwart the vision that God had given Joseph in a dream. Capture him, sell him into slavery. Joseph follows slavery by being a slave, falsely accused, incarcerated. Yet nevertheless, God's purposes are fulfilled in and through Joseph's life. And the events come full circle to where Joseph serves as a lifeline for not only his relatives, but the entire Hebrew people in his lineage. And he makes the statement, what you intended for evil, God has turned for good. I pray that this will be a moment that catalyzes a massive return to our most abiding and enduring need as a nation, which is repentance.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Looking in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, and individually members of one another. Father, we thank you once again for the wisdom, the powerful grace, the powerful understanding and insight that is ours as we spend time with you one-on-one in your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Say, what would you do if you were a new Christian and you didn't have a Bible? Probably say, well, I'd hop in my car, I'd go to a Christian bookstore, or I'd have one shipped to me. What if those weren't options? You'd say, well, I'm new to the faith. I need to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. You know, you would pray that someone, anyone, would bring you a Bible. And that's exactly the way it is for literally millions of Christians around the world. They're part of our spiritual family. They're new to the faith. They want to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, but God has them planted where it's very difficult to access a Bible. And that's why AFR and Bible League are teamed up this month to bless 4,000 waiting believers all over the world at $5 a Bible. Would you consider a dollar a day? A $30 a month pledge will take care of 72 waiting Christians over the next year. Would you pray about that and get involved today?
You can give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. If you're just tuning in, we started the show by discussing and lamenting the fact that 31-year-old Charlie Kirk, husband, father of two children, conservative political activist, founder of Turning Point USA, but most importantly, a Christ follower, was murdered today. Really, an assassination, if you look at it, seems to be, I'll say it that way. At about 1:20 p.m. Central Time is when he was shot. He was shot on the campus of Utah Valley University, where he was endeavoring to kick off his America Comeback Tour. If you are unfamiliar with Charlie Kirk, he started his organization, Turning Point USA, after deciding while in college that this is not for me, that this place is not helping people learn how to think. It is training people to be mind-numbed robots, and I want no part of it. He then launched the founding of his Turning Point USA organization in 2012, and one of the things he would do is to travel to college campuses around our country and have conversations with college students about civic matters, political matters, history, and religion, you name it, they would have conversations about it. He would give the person in the audience a microphone, they would dialogue about an issue, and oftentimes, almost always, Charlie Kirk would be more armed with facts than the people he was conversing with. And in doing so, he ended up really changing hearts and minds all around our country. His station in our country grew to the point to where he was a significant component of President Trump's election in this most recent election. And he was in the process of doing that very thing today at Utah Valley University. According to reports and hearing from the student there at Utah Valley University, Charlie Kirk engaged in a conversation with one student first. The first student to talk to him had a question, or really was trying to persuade Charlie Kirk to embrace Mormonism, to which, according to all reports, Charlie Kirk respectfully declined and simply said, listen, I am a Protestant Christian. I believe the evidence affirms Protestant Christianity. However, I have love and affinity for everyone, you know, and I love people who are Mormons. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but I am not here to debate or persuade you concerning your religion. I am all about exalting Jesus Christ, but I respect you. And I'm paraphrasing. And his respectful conclusion of the conversation led to the crowd to applaud fervently. Then there was a second questioner. And when the second question began, according to reports of people who were physically there, I just learned NPR is trying to say something else. Listen, NPR, they lie so much. Please. The second questioner asked about transgenderism. And according to the reports, as Charlie Kirk was beginning his answer, that is when the one shot rang out that struck him in the neck. I'm going to show you video of this, but I want to tell you plainly, there are lots of videos that are far closer than what I'm going to show you, because I know there are children who watch this show. I'm not going to show that close video that shows the profuse blood spilling from Charlie Kirk's neck. I'm not going to show that video, so I want you to be warned about that. But I am going to show you a video that kind of gives you a perspective as to what transpired earlier today. It's audio and video, but it's not much dialogue. So I apologize for those who are merely listening, but I think you also get an interesting understanding of this event solely by listening. Listen to and watch. This is only about 7 seconds long. Listen to and watch. Clip number one, go.
Counting or not counting gang violence.
Oh my God.
Go, run, run.
So you can hear, as you'd imagine, at an event on a college campus, there are lots of college students with cell phones and cell phone videos that are taken. You heard one of the attendees to say, run, you know, it's time to run. I can't stop thinking about his wife and his children. I can't stop thinking about it. On the scene, there was, and I'm going to cut to some breaking news here right now that's literally breaking as we're on the air. On the scene, there was a man detained on the campus, but it was quickly determined that the immediate person detained was not the shooter. As we are on the air right now, the FBI is announcing that they have arrested the man who they suspect is the shooter. As this is breaking right now, I don't have the capacity to do any additional research, but this is being reported. Right now, there is a news conference where FBI agents are in Orem, Utah, describing and announcing that they have detained who they suspect to be the shooter. The FBI descended upon Utah almost immediately after news broke, or after information broke of the shooting. It's been announced by FBI Director Cash Patel that the suspected shooter is, in fact, in custody. I can't stop thinking about his wife and his children, man. I can't stop thinking about it. We understand from a legal standpoint, when violence is perpetuated, specifically in furtherance of or response to political discourse, it is described as terrorism. This appears to be a domestic exercise of terrorism. I've explained to you many times before, that Moses Mordecai Marx Levy is not the inventor of socialistic thought. I've shared that Marx actually was a disciple of George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. Friedrich Hegel, from whom the Hegelian dialectic comes from. Marx's contribution to the socialistic framework of thought was the utilization of violence as a mechanism to accomplish one's political objectives. This is something we're seeing all too often. This is not an exhaustive list, but these are just some of the most prominent violent displays. Many of you may recall when Family Research Campaign's offices were invaded by a man who brought Chick-fil-A sandwiches because he wanted to shoot everybody in Family Research Council's offices. Struck the security guard who happened to be on duty. Thankfully, he was able to subdue the shooter and his wounds were not fatal. You remember the shooter who attempted to kill Steve Scalise in Washington, D.C. Last July, 2024, President Trump was shot in Butler, Pennsylvania. Today, Charlie Kirk. Guys, there is a palpable display of evil in our country that is transpiring with repetition. Just this week in North Carolina, the brutal murder of Irina Zarutska. The brutal murder. Over the Labor Day weekend, horrendous shootings all over our country. Guys, we are not going to press forward as a society unless we come face to face with the objective reality of evil. This is very early in the investigation process in Charlie Kirk's murder. The governor of Utah is speaking right now as I'm talking to you on television. And he said, Governor Spencer Cox, that this is a political assassination. A political assassination. When I say there is palpable evidence of evil, I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. This evil is being spurred by Satan himself. I know some people get uncomfortable when we talk about this, but much of the recognition has come in to understand that we have moved beyond the donkeys and elephants, that we're talking about good versus evil. You've heard me say repeatedly, but a part of the ruse, a part of the rub here is you have people who are misunderstanding what exactly evil is. And we can ignore reality if we want, but demonic agitation is real. It's real. The assassin's bullet, as Utah's governor described this as a political assassination, the assassin's bullet to Charlie Kirk's neck is a physical demonstration of your inability to overcome what his arguments may be. Then you want to conclude the conversation by shouting him down, or dare I say, shutting him up. Shutting him up. Guys, we cannot progress forward. We cannot. If we try to address the evidence of the grotesque spiritual chasm that is in our country solely by political and rhetorical means. Let's get another tariff. Let's lower some taxes. Let's do some funding for this initiative. Let's pass another bill. And we ignore the fact that men are desperately wicked. We're going to miss the whole boat. We're going to miss the whole boat. I pray, as I mentioned earlier, as Joseph declared this, that what the wicked enemy intended for evil, that God turns this for his good. I'm reminded of September 11th. I was in college at the time. And I remember the response to the utter carnage of September 11th. That it seemed like the whole nation recognized, oh, we need God. September 12th, you saw full churches, church bells ringing all over our country. And I also saw American flags all over our country. But then what happened? Time progressed. We had some, I'll just say it, imprudent servant leaders. And we drifted so far till we went away from calling on God to embracing a violation of his institution, saying what God declares to be abominable should be given legal protection. And it's not lost on me that the assassin's bullet was discharged at the very moment that Charlie Kirk is about to tell the truth about transgenderism. That's not lost on me. But the demonic screed was, shut up. We don't want to hear this. You had despicable persons, and I didn't even realize, Bobby told me this, like Matthew Dowd on MSNBC. He basically suggests Charlie Kirk, it's his own fault. He had this coming. Listen to and watch. Clip number 3. Go.
But following up on what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
To be fair, he said this before Charlie Kirk was confirmed dead. But he also said it after he learned he had been shot. The only way to describe the willingness to make those kind of comments after a man was shot in the neck is the lovelessness, the waxing cold of hearts that the scripture predict.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Trans murder. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Recently at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, a young man who was so confused that he falsely believed he was a woman took multiple firearms to the school and sadly killed 2 children and injured 17 others before killing himself. While the media blamed guns, the reality is that this young man's confusion about his gender, use of marijuana, and focus on satanic darkness were the contributing factors. The answer is not affirmation, but proclamation of God's truth in the gospel. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Hear our most recent program on this topic at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
After taking the morning after pill, this mom immediately felt sick and nauseous as she tried to end her pregnancy. While searching for medical care, she found a preborn network clinic where she hoped to rule out that she was pregnant.
I had an ultrasound done right then and there. After hearing the baby's heartbeat, I instantly thanked God and said, "May your will be done, Lord." I'm 7 months pregnant now. I thank God every day for my little miracle.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, introducing moms to the life growing inside of them and sharing the gospel in action. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and 1 minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Guys, you have to understand that this consistent penchant to describe truth telling as hate speech is just a rhetorical device to shut you up. That's what it is. And this, he's made in the image of God, so I'm not going to call him any names. But this wicked plebeian who's using his mouthpiece to be a spout of wicked verbiage to describe an expression of an opinion that you disagree with as hateful is nothing more than an effort to silence as well. I understand. I understand more than many people might even recognize. As I mentioned, some of the things that transpired around the country showing the increase in violence. I remember the day when AFA's head of security walked into my office and came in with measuring tape. And I said, "What is that for?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, Abe, I need to measure you for a bulletproof vest." I was like, "What?" Yeah. I can see the looks on the faces of people as I travel around the country to speak, and they see who we're traveling with, and they, "Hey, who's this guy?" And they're saying, "Oh, hey, you have to travel with security." I remember having to go home and tell my wife, "We have different travel protocols we have to implement now." So what I'm about to say now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm unaware of what is at stake. But I want to encourage you as you're listening to me, and I'm saying this quite soberly and honestly, counting the cost myself. Resist that temptation to dumb yourself down. Resist that temptation not to speak the truth. Because what Satan would love more than anything else is for this to be an occasion that results in people who have the truth, and they now refuse to proclaim it because of fear. This is one of the main reasons why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy from his Roman prison that God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but he's giving you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And I want you to notice that Paul doesn't say love and a sound mind first. The first thing he says is, but God has given you power. He's given you love, and he's given you a sound mind. I keep reflecting on Charlie Kirk's wife and his children, because I think about my own wife and children. I think about how we pray when I have to travel to go and speak somewhere. How we pray when we're traveling together. And how we, now I'm just going to keep it a whole buck with you guys, we firmly believe in the Second Amendment. Firmly. And not just believe it as an intellectual exercise, but as a practically applied right that is God-given. Don't allow the enemy to intimidate you into taking yourself out of the game. And I do not say that casually or callously. I say it as one who is counting the cost myself. If I would sit here and say the thought didn't cross my mind and say, hey, you know, hey, maybe you should. You got some speaking events, maybe you should consider. And then the Lord nudged me by his spirit. The very same way I'm talking to you. Well, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. And if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, then why would we embrace it? Of course, we should be sober-minded. We should be vigilant. We should be thorough and thoughtful. Above all, prayerful. But one of the features that is a byproduct of being indwelled by the Spirit of God is boldness. One of the most important iterations of boldness, and it's this, and I don't think this is a coincidence, because God in his divine providence is never surprised or caught off guard. Ain't no such thing as sneaking up on God with a surprise. Just Monday, at the Museum of the Bible, President Trump stood with HUD Secretary Scott Turner, and he later addressed the attendees at the Museum of the Bible at a meeting of the Religious Liberty Commission, in which HUD Secretary announced the Trump administration's America Prays Initiative. In which the President of the United States and his cabinet is inviting believers all over the country to gather with at least 10 people once a week from now on through July 4th, 2026, which would be the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence. Inviting our nation, more specifically the believers in our nation, to commit ourselves once again. You can go to the whitehouse.gov/America250/America-praise and see it all for yourself. We have the president calling on our nation to pray. Now, of course, I understand, you know, you have all kinds of people in the nation, all that kind of stuff. But I am talking to this audience. Is there no more significant recognition than to recognize that we need God? Listen to HUD Secretary Scott Turner as he announces the America Prays Initiative. Clip number 5. Listen to and watch it. Clip number five. Go.
Well, good morning. So grateful to be here. What an honor it is to stand with this commission. And with our president, y'all, we're in the nation's capital. We're at the Museum of the Bible. We're together and we're talking about faith. Did anybody else pick up on that? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but right here. So thank you, Mr. President. It's an honor to serve under your leadership, sir, and to be a part of this tremendous cabinet. How many know we have a godly, faithful cabinet? And a cabinet that prioritizes prayer. On July 3rd, Mr. President, of this year, you kicked off the year-long celebration of America's 250th birthday in Iowa. You invited America's faith communities to come together to pray for our country. Well, Mr. President, America's faith communities are responding with overwhelming enthusiasm, as you can see here today. Today, more than 70 major faith organizations and churches have joined together to participate in what we're calling America Prays. In fact, many of you are here today, including leaders from Pray.com, Hallowed, the National Religious Broadcasters, the Faith and Freedom Coalition, Intercessors for America, and many, many others are here with us. And I want to take a moment. If you are here today and you have joined this faith movement, America Prays, please stand if you're here this morning. Please, if you're here, stand and let us see you. Thank you. Well, together, we have our simple proposition. Think about this. What if 1 million people prayed for our country every single week between now and next July 4th? More specifically, what if believers all across this great nation got together with 10 people, friends, family members, colleagues, work associates, 10 people each week to pray for our country and for our fellow citizens? Let that sink in. 1 million people every single week, 10 people getting together to pray for our country and for her citizens.
Guys, this should be the order of the day. This should be the order of the day. I can't tell you the number of times I've come to this microphone on a National Day of Prayer, read prayer proclamations. I did it again this year. And I want to be clear to everyone listening and watching. Prayer is not synonymous with inaction. I want to say that again. Prayer is not synonymous with inaction. Prayer is action. It's not the only action, but it is a necessary action. We have lots of people who have pursued action, not enough who have pursued prayer preceded, prayer guided action. We did not get to where we are as a nation overnight. We have walked step by step, one foot in front of the other, in a direction that has consistently, for the most part, until really recently, in an effort to turn away from God. I've presented, how do you get from a nation of Israel, established by the laws of God, tablets of stone written by the finger of God, as the scripture says, to monarchs being instructed by the Mosaic law to handwrite and retain their own copies of God's law, to Josiah, who's surprised to learn that there is a book of the law. We are in a similar station in our lives. I often reflect on, and what happened generationally? What are the practical realities on the ground that transpired in biblical Israel that led to this happening? Guys, we're in a similar place right now. When we have a declaration of independence that includes the phrasing that we have been endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, Do you think they just stumbled upon that verbiage? Like, let's just wax poetically. No, man. That phrase was included in a list of articulated grievances against King George and England. Benjamin Franklin is recorded having said, at a moment when the Constitutional Convention was at a quagmire that couldn't get anything accomplished. And he's recorded as having said, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without the knowledge of divine providence, how then can an empire rise? His interjection led to a three-day prayer meeting, the results of which were our Constitution. Guys, the time is up for being sidelined, spectators, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use, Monday morning quarterbacks, having a position that, well, somebody else will get to it at some point. How will we respond to what God is calling us to in this moment? Are you willing to be salt and light in the land where God has planted you? Am I willing to be salt and light in the land where God has planted me? In the wake of this tragedy, my cry in my heart has been, Lord, what the enemy has intended for evil, I pray that you would turn it for your good. The order of the day is prayer and action. But action prayerlessly is not going to get us where we need to be. The order of the day is prayer and action. It is by prayer we'll be guided to effective action.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.